Our Heavenly Father, we thank you again for this day, Lord. We thank you for the time that we have here in this place, and we ask that the Holy Spirit of God be to help us understand the things that we need to understand. Lord, we open this precious book, and we thank you so much to know that the Holy Spirit inspired it for us. Lord, without Him, we wouldn't understand a thing. Without Him, we wouldn't even know who Jesus Christ is. Without the Holy Spirit of God dwelling in us, we couldn't understand the things of this precious book. So this morning I pray you'd help my mind be sharp. From the years gone through, Father, there's many things now slipping. I thank you so much. Help my tongue be clear. Help my thinking be swift. And dear Father, help me, let my life to be holy, to live for you until we see you face to face. And we know this, that we want to present our bodies this morning, a living sacrifice, which you said is a reasonable service. I can't present to you what I did 40 years ago, but I can present to you where I am right now. And I pray that you'd honor yourself through this message. Bless us, help us hear some things about our life here in eternity. And we're going to thank you now in Jesus' name. And for his sake we pray, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Take your Bible and turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. I want to read here. We're going to read this and we're going to 1 Corinthians just a moment. Verse 7 down through verse 10. The Apostle Paul says to the church at Corinth, "For we walk by faith, not by sight." You know, some people seem to think we walk by sight today and they're mixed up. You've got to walk by faith, and that's what God says we do. Then you'll see the things that God gives. Faith is subject to things hoped for, evidence of things not seen. Then he says this, "We're confident," and I say, "willing rather to be absent." Now I want you to notice the word "we." Notice "we." You have to get these terms in right. The pronoun "we." He's talking about the saints of God here. He's talking about the church at Corinth and all the saints of God down through the ages. Notice he included himself. We walk by faith and not by sight. That automatically puts us in the ring of God. The world walks by sight and not by faith. But a child of God must learn to walk by faith, rather than by sight. Because faith will give us in beyond this barrier of time into the spiritual world to see the things that God have us to see as a spirit. You and I have been awakened by the Spirit, God. We've been quickened, made alive, so we would have access to the things of God. And God gave us the Holy Spirit. And I'm glad. I've been looking at John chapter 14 and 16 again when Jesus promised the Holy Spirit. Why? And boy, what an amazing thing. You and I never make it without the Holy Spirit of God, folks. We never would make it. I don't think most of us understand what the Holy Spirit of God is doing because the world has used him so much in a different means to give us something about him that really is not true. The Holy Spirit's there to help us. And we'll look at that later, which is another message. But I want you to notice, he said, "And we have confidence, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and be present with the Lord." Now, you know, it's one thing for a person to say that and think they might be present with the Lord. But I'm glad I know that God says that's true. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Now, that means either in the rapture, going to glorify a body, or in death, when the day will come that we'll come back with him, according to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Now watch, verse 10. "For we," there it is again. He's talking about something that's going to take place for the child of God. I don't think we think much about this, but we better. And I believe that's the reason God's leading this morning. Who knows who might be here, who may be listening by radio or to upstream. And for this week's over with, it'll be in eternity. And you and I ought to realize there's more to Christianity than just what we see here. We're going to go before God one day. And he said, "We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ." Notice the judgment seat of Christ. Then he said, why? "That everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he had done, whether it be good or bad." Now, let me say to start with, good or bad here is not meaning setting forth the fact that if there's sin in our life or not sin in our life. Here, if you're standing there, ladies and gentlemen, you've been born again. Your sin's been dealt with. And that's the reason Paul included himself. And he's talking about now those things that's going to happen when God judges us in the bema seat of Christ or the judgment seat of Christ. That's what he calls it here. We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that we might have things, receive the things done in this body. In other words, there will be times of reward. Now turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, and let's analyze this a little bit further. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, look down, if you will, about verse 9. Paul's writing to the church at Corinth in the first epistle, and it's what he said. He said, "For we are," there it is again, that "we," notice he included himself. Paul said he's going to have to stand there. He knew that. "We are," watch, "co-laborers together with God." Then the world's not a co-laborer with God. Can I hear amen on that? They don't know how to co-labor with God. You know, most of the world is coming up to things that they think they're doing that God don't want to be pleased with. I've said this hundreds of times through the years, ladies and gentlemen. God is not pleased by us coming up with things to be pleased with. We have to do what He says to be pleased. We have to obey Him. And notice He says again, He said, we're God's husbandmen. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. Now, according to the grace of God, which is given to me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon, but let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. Now, I understand that. He comes back again, and Paul includes himself because he's going to be here. He said, when I stand there in that day, God used him to start the church here at Corinth. God used different ones to go, but the gospel was preached, called them to go across Asia, and many churches were started in the transition period in the book of Acts. And he said, he laid a foundation. What's that foundation? The Lord Jesus Christ. And he said, no other man can build upon that foundation except as they build that which has to do upon him. For other foundations can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. I guess I can understand what Paul is saying, that God led us here to start this church 50 years ago this coming August, and see the foundation was laid. And there's nobody walks in these doors through the years and seen that we try to do our best to lay the foundation, started Jesus Christ as the chief cornerstone. And therefore, we build the foundation on Jesus Christ. We make much of Jesus Christ in this life. And therefore, we give this world the message that has to do with the gospel of Christ. And then notice what he says. But now, if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stone, wood, hay, and stubble. He gives us six categories here, or six articles. Notice what he first said. He said, gold, silver, and precious stone. You put that, which he's fixing to tell us, into the fire, and it will purify itself. It will come out worth more than it did when it went in. But when you look at the next three, he said, wood, hay, and stubble. Then he says, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work what sort it is. If any man works abide which hath built thereupon, he shall receive reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Fire. Now that simply says to me, as I look, there are things that God says we can do, that God says to do, that we'll be rewarded for. And he cut in the category of gold, silver, and precious stone. But then he also says another article or other item that he gave three, wood, hay, and stubble. You put wood, hay, and stubble in fire, and it will consume it and completely annihilate it. But you put gold and silver and precious stone in there, it will come out pure. And so he's saying that what's going to happen, get an idea, and we move on just a moment and come back to this, what's going to happen. In these two places, he's let us know there's going to be a judgment seat of Christ. The saints of God will stand before him one day, and they'll be judged according to the works. What are the works? The works of Ephesians 2, verse 10, are the created works in Christ Jesus that God has ordained for us to work in. See, it is God who tells us what we should be doing, and that's what the Holy Spirit has done when he gave us this book, to understand what those works are. Those works are to build the body of Christ, which is the church, and you start with giving them the gospel to this known world. Without the gospel, they will not know what is to be saved. It's an interesting thing to me that you see, and Brother Dr. Mightyman said that this morning, interesting to see that in the Old Testament there seemed to be a pushing away from God because they were so afraid. But in the New Testament, he says, come, come. By the way, we've not ceased saying that either. We're still saying, come to Christ. Come to him. Don't be afraid of him. Come to him. Don't be deceived. Don't get deceived. Because people who are deceived are being deceived, and they are deceiving others. And so we want to be sure we understand this thing of the resurrection. I want you to turn to Revelation chapter 20, and we'll look at another phase, and then I'll put it all together for you. In Revelation chapter 20, if you look down about verse 11. Now, these first two we see. And I want you to visualize with me this morning. I call this being in God's courtroom. Everybody here has probably been in court before. I know this. If you ever got a ticket or had any, or if you did, you witnessed someone. I'm, 77 years old, and there have been a number of times I've had to go through court for different people and so forth, and I just don't like courtrooms. Do you? Especially if you're the item being judged. Because you think you're going to get a good, clear judgment, and then sometimes you wonder. I want you to know something, though. Our courtrooms have their problems, bias. As a matter of fact, I read recently that a jury, it was a group of 12 people, selected to decide who has the best lawyer. And that's probably so in a lot of cases. I also read what it said about when you think about judges. And getting this message up, I thought every time we actually end up voting, they always had a bunch of judges on there to vote for. Now, I don't, maybe you do. I don't understand why we vote for judges. I don't know any of them. No one's ever asked me to vote for them. I look at names, and you can't tell nothing about names. How many, you say, if you got a relationship with a judge, but one's fine, it's fine, but how many here have, many times, I'll be honest with you, many times I just didn't vote because I didn't know them. How many is like that? Don't raise your hand. I'll raise mine for you, amen. Because you think, why not they just appointed? Well, the people don't have a say-so, yes. But did you know, ladies and gentlemen, you have some good judges, but you know in our court system today, the only thing that matters is to win. Now, I want you to notice, I'm laying a parallel here for us to understand. God gives us earthly situations that we might analyze to see spiritual situations. There is going to come a day that we're going to be in God's courtroom. And I'm going to tell you, God's laws he talked about is going to be there. God's going to be sitting on the throne, and Jesus Christ is going to be sitting at the judgment seat, and you're going to find out that in that courtroom, some things are going to try to be done to deceive and make people think they've done something, and Jesus. And here, though, we have nothing but absolute authority. In our courtrooms today, we may go back and look at history down for a hundred years or so and come try to find some way why a decision was made like it was made and use that in our particular day. And sometimes you'll find that some people would use the same law and have different ways of dealing with that law. It may go one way one time, and the next judge court, it may go another way. Give me amen. What I'm saying to you, laying out something this earth, ladies and gentlemen, is as real as you said in here this morning. And thank God for courts, because we need courts. We need systems in turn that looks at the law and practices the law so that we in turn can at least think we've been tried fairly. But I want you to know when we talk about God's court, it's going to be different. Now, if you look with me now in chapter 20 and verse 11, we're talking about another phase of the court. The first one we looked at, the first two, gave us information about the court being the seat of Christ, at the judgment seat of Christ. It lets us know we're all going to appear there. As a matter of fact, if you look in Romans chapter 14, verse 10, read that. The scripture says, why dost thou judge thy brother? Because we're all going to appear before the judgment seat of Christ. He also tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10, we're going to appear there. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, down those verses I read, it tells us exactly how God's going to do this. And it's fair. By the way, whatever works goes in that fire will be fair. If something goes through there that someone made up and just did it because they thought God won't be pleased, he comes out wood, hay, and stubble, it's going to burn up, and they're not going to get one thing. But if someone is prayerfully gone to the Holy Spirit of God that lives in them, studied this book, and looked at those works that God talked about and said, God, if I'm going to spend my energy on anything, I want to give it to you, that what you want done, I don't want to be over here spinning my wheels in sand somewhere or another that has nothing to do with God whatsoever. Feed my mind and heart and soul that I will know the will of God for my life. And in so do, when I stand there one day, might just get a reward. God said when that goes into the fire, it's going to come out. And yet when it comes out of the fire, he said, those who, it comes out of the fire, will receive a reward. But that where wood and hay and stubble represent does not, he said, yet so as by fire they are saved. Aren't you glad of that? Aren't you glad the fact if you blew it somewhere or another along the way and didn't get exactly the work right that God said do, whatever the reason was? By the way, we don't have it all together all the time. If anything goes through the fire and comes out and burns, you don't have to worry about because it came out and wouldn't and burned up. We've got to go to this particular judgment. But this is Revelation chapter 20. Watch. It says, he calls the great white judgment on verse 11. And him that sat on it, whose face the earth and the heavens fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead swallowing great stand before God. The books were opened. The other book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which are written in the book according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in them, and death and hell delivered up the dead which was in them, and they were judged every man according to their works. Watch, according to their works, according to the, you see, Jesus Christ's blood is not paid for the sin debt here. They refused it. They turned it down. Many times they heard the word come, but instead of coming, they went. And they went their own way. And God says there's a counting day. And they said, that's the reason it's so urgent. God, help us. I had seen the day years ago when I started this thing in the late 50s, early 60s, 70s. Every church had an urgency to reach people, love God, come and pray, and ask God to help to reach people in their society because they believed in a hell and in a heaven. Nowadays, people believe in heaven and don't believe in hell. He goes on, he tells us what's happening there. He said, every man which were in them, they would judge every man according to their works, and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And watch, and the book of life was there, but whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. I want to speak to you on God's courtroom. Now, ladies and gentlemen, we live in an age today, the best country in the world. As far as the courts are concerned, the best country in the world. I believe that. I believe that if anyone could even get close to a fair trial, if we even thought we did, most of the time we'd think we don't, but if we did, I believe we'd get it here better than anywhere else in the world. But I want you to know, it seems that everyone wants their day in court. They say, if we would just tell my side of the story, then everything would be right. Well, let me tell you something. Judgment is coming for the child of God, too. And judgment is coming for the unsaved. And it's going to be in God's court. And be controlled by God's law and controlled by God's atmosphere, and the settlement will be final. There'll be no contestant, there'll be no to a higher court. When you go to stand here at this time, you have to stay. When the judgment is made, it'll be settled. We'll see that as we go through this quickly. Every Christian and every sinner will have their day in court, and but the judgment seat will be different. God's people will be judged at the judgment seat of Christ, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10. The unsaved will be judged at the great white throne judgment, Revelation 20, verse 11 through 15. This is the last event that would take place before time is done away with. And I want you to imagine yourself for a few minutes. I've tried to do this the last few weeks of working on this message. I want you to imagine, if you can, if you got an imagination, almost all of you do, do some imagination. Imagine about God today. I want you to imagine, if you were there now, what would take place at each one of these places of judgment. Let's look to first and number one, the setting of the judgment seat of Christ. All kinds of saved people will be here. We read the word we. Paul will be here. Paul knew he had a tremendous thing, but aren't you glad? I believe he told Paul for you to talk to him about it. He said, I'm going to tell you one thing. I did a lot of things before I was saved. I was on the road to Damascus to kill Christians. I want to tell you one thing. When I met Christ on the road to Damascus, he forgave me for all of that. I was washed in the blood. But I realized there's things since then I had to deal with. You look at Romans 7, we've been looking at deal with his old flesh. And he had to bring it into control. The Apostle Paul, Peter, the woman at the well, Stephen, Mary, the mother of Jesus, John Wesley, Charles Spurgeon, Jonathan Edwards, moms and dads and grandmothers and grandfathers, and even moms and dads and grandmothers and grandfathers and brothers and sisters and aunts and uncles and cousins. We could go, oh, there's going to be a lot of those there. Because they received Christ as Savior. Not because they had any merit in the people's lives here. But one day they heard the gospel message, and the Holy Spirit of God that God sent for that message that inspired this book, preserved it for our day, reached their heart, and they began to listen and draw them to the Lamb of God. And the day they came, they walked through that door as Christ invited them in and became a child of God. And that's the only reason they're standing here. They have no merit on their own other than the grace of Almighty God. A loud voice, I can see now, as I walk into some type of gigantic courtroom. God's throne may be sitting, or at least a throne for him to sit on, because he certainly will be there. There'll be the judgment seat of Christ where Christ will be sitting, because he said we'll appear before the judgment seat. And suddenly, you might hear something as you'd hear in this court land of the day. Hear ye! Hear ye! God's court is now in session. And there'll be a quietness, no doubt in my mind. And when you see this, Jesus Christ, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Prince of Peace is sitting at his right judgment seat in heaven, 2 Corinthians 5:10. The Almighty God, the Father, steps up upon his throne. All is silent. The trials of the saints for their works began. And I just went through 1 Corinthians 3, verse 9. It's not a matter of heaven or hell here. It's a matter where one loved God enough to give their life in some form or fashion to serve him. And God has promised us not only to take us to heaven if we trust Christ as Savior, but if we give our bodies a living sacrifice, which he said in Romans 12, 1 is a reasonable service, and renew our mind by being transformed and so forth, to be conformed, not conformed to this world, but be transformed by renewing your mind. That those ingredients would give you the power and the instruction and the illumination of what you need to do for God. And in turn, the Holy Spirit could use you as a vessel to motivate you where you need to go. Whatever God does through you or I, one day there will be a reward for it in heaven. Why? He's decreed it. It's just as much so as a truth as John 3:16. He's decreed it. And so, this is for service of the redeemed. But you look at the second setting, and the great white throne judgment is taking place in Revelation 20, verse 11 through 13. I want you to note the background. The unsaved people are standing here. They'll stand stripped of their pretense, and all will appear as they really are before God. They're lost and undone. They have no hope. They have no lawyer. They have no grace. They have nothing but the law of Almighty God. And that law will condemn them into the lake of fire. But they'll make their case. Jesus Christ will be there with the marks of the cross on his body. The one that people have denied and cursed and ridiculed and talked about will be the one before them that they stand before him. John 5:22 says, God had committed all judgment unto the Son. Go read it. God said he's committed all judgment unto the Son. Wonder why? Don't you know he deserves it? He died for us. Man mocked him and ridiculed and cursed him and swore and did all these things, and then think all of a sudden he'd stand before him and he not say what he says, no matter what this person may say or do as far as their life is concerned. I want you to know one will be exempt. The petty, grand, and glorious sinner will stand side by side here at the throne of God for judgment. From the common drunk to the wicked world leader, every sinner who has ever lived will stand before God's judgment throne outside of Jesus Christ. Cain, Hitler, presidents, popes, preachers, thieves, murderers, harlots, all of those who refuse to receive Jesus Christ as their Savior will be here at Revelation chapter 20 and 11 down verse 15. So note, at this particular place, we have some books that are there. You know, God's got one of the best record systems there ever been. As a matter of fact, he's got records before they ever happened. Aren't you glad of that? Did you know God from the beginning knew all the records there were? Aren't you glad when you were born, came into this world, there came a day, though you were lost and undone, there came a day you come to see Christ as your personal Savior. And when God saw that record before that day, it was full of everything, just like he says here in Revelation. But the blood of Christ cleanses from every one of them. You know why we stand at this bema seat of Christ? Because he paid the debt, and we accepted him as our personal Savior. By grace are you saved through faith, not in yourself. It is a gift of God. And so as I look at this event, I begin to see the Lamb's Book of Life is there, verse 20, chapter 20, verse 15. The ones' names that will be missing in the Lamb's Book of Life will be here at this judgment. The book here contains the record of the works for those who never took the opportunity to receive Christ as their personal Savior. There will not be any hiding places here. Even the dust of their body will come together again, and every grave will give up the dead, no matter where they're at. And when each name is called, they'll stand at the judgment seat here. Revelation 20, 13 and 15. Even hell would empty its occupants for the first time in thousands of years to be judged for their wicked deeds. The books are read and the sentences are given and the books are full. It's just not a book as far as the deeds. It's books in the plural. And as he finished that, you find that those books are read in the sentence, and all who appear at this judgment seat will be cast into the lake of fire after being judged. There's no appeals here. This is final. There's no contested here. There's no such a case. If you go here to the local court somewhere there and you're tried, you can appeal what? To the state court, can't you? You can go to the state court and try. If that don't get satisfaction, you can appeal to the U.S. court in Washington. You can't go nowhere here. This is it. No excuses now. We make a lot of excuses in flesh before we leave this world. But no excuses now when it comes to our relationship and what happens here at this particular place. No contestants of a case here. And what we see that Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7, and we read that many times, I want to read it quickly, because what this says is gives a little outline of what's going on. If you look in Matthew chapter 7 with me, down about verse 23, and here they stand, and Jesus is actually judgment. Notice, if you will, chapter 7. He says in verse 21, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Ladies and gentlemen, you'd be surprised at the number of people that says that God is Lord to them. Why? Because they have had let him have the privilege to come into their lives. You better mark it down. It's God gives us the privilege to be his child. Not to just say, hey, Lord, hey, I did this for you. I did this good deed for you. There is no good deeds outside of Jesus Christ. And he goes on, he said, many shall say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? Boy, I wonder what's going to happen there. That means everybody that prophesied in thy name is not doing it for him. In thy name have cast out devils. I mean, there's some people who literally had the power, it seemed like, because he said, okay, Lord, we cast out devils. At least they said they did. He knows whether they did or not. They're going to try to put up a defense. Cast out devils in thy name, done many wonderful works. Can you not see now the books have opened, they've been tried, they've been said now that you're to be cast to your destiny into hell, fire, everlasting fire for eternity. And so, wait a minute, Lord. Don't you remember that time that I did this for you? Don't you remember that time that I did this? Don't you remember this time I went to the church? Don't you remember? And they start naming these things that they did. And the Bible tells us in Romans chapter 3 again. I thought Brother Moon was going to get on that this morning. He almost did. That'd been all right. It's worth repeating. In Romans chapter 3, here's what's going to happen. When they begin to make all these excuses, the Bible teaches us that he said, now we know, he said in verse 19, that what things soever the law saith, it said to them who are under the law. Why? That every mouth may be stopped and the world may become guilty before God. He says, what's going to happen? The Lord won't have to say anything at that moment. Because when they began to make those accusations that are false, that are deceptive, they have been deceived, God had warned, and yet they didn't listen. And now he says, the law will stop their mouth. That's how holy it is. The law itself. And Jesus will say, when that happens, depart from me. I never knew you. That means they didn't have a relationship with him. Now, you know he knew them physically, but he says, as far as the arena of God's family, I never knew you. And I see some things that's taking place that's amazing. Their names are not written in the Lamb's Book of Life. In light of these two judgments, quickly, I want to give you about five things, first of all. Number one, we have five important things to know before this judgment. Hebrews 9:27, we all know it by heart. He says, as is appointed unto man, wants to die after this, the judgment. God has not left us ignorant that there's going to be a judgment after this life, folks. For the child of God can be joy and glory, and for the unsaved. Number two, everybody will be judged for their sins if they do not accept Christ as their personal Savior. Why are they judged for their sins if they do accept Christ as Savior? Because he paid the sin debt. And in that court, God says he's free. John 8:24 says, if you believe not that I am he, you shall die in your sins. If you believe not that I am he. Number three, one must recognize that judgment is coming and that hell is literally and eternal in the lake of fire. The final for God's children is heaven. It's home. Rewards to live forever. Go to Revelation and see that beautiful city. The final for the unsaved is the lake of fire. Just as sure as you and I are sitting here today. Number four, if we are Christians, if we as Christians ignore it now, our loss will show up later in the loss of rewards. If we don't care the gospel of this world, we'll lose rewards. If we don't tell people about Jesus Christ, we'll lose rewards. If we don't obey God and submit to him and yield to him as the Holy Spirit teaches us to do, then we will lose rewards. I've said so many times, I'm to glorify the Heavenly Father. You heard me pray this many times. I'm to glorify the Heavenly Father. I am to exalt the Lord Jesus Christ. I can't do that without yielding to the Holy Spirit of God. And when I yield to the Holy Spirit of God, he will help me through his word that's been inspired, which is God's word inspired. He will help me exalt Jesus Christ, and he'll help me in that glorify the Heavenly Father. And that's what Jesus said he'd do when he came. Number five, the labors are few and the harvests are great. We see that, Jesus said in Luke chapter 10, verse 2, and John 4:35, both of these together said, pray that the Lord of the harvest would send laborers into his harvest. Isn't it amazing? God will send laborers. He didn't say, pray that the Lord of the harvest will make laborers go into the harvest. He said, pray the Lord of the harvest will send. You know how he gets to do that? We said here this morning. We're saved if we're saved. He gives us that understanding. There is a message to give, just like sowing seed to have a crop, sowing the uncorruptible seed. And Jesus Christ will bring about in the heart, as the Holy Spirit does that, to save that individual. And then, what about then, when you think about what we're doing, God's courtroom, when we stand there, ladies and gentlemen, listen to me, what about that son or daughter that might say, Mom and Dad, why didn't you tell me more about Jesus less of sports? What about that wife or husband or grandparent or family or member or neighbor that might say, you never said one time about Christ? Oh, I saw you go to church, but I thought you'd like everybody else. What about that wife or husband or grandparent? The Bible says the blood of such will be upon our hands. In Ezekiel chapter 3, verse 18, 8 years, the Holy Spirit moved upon Ezekiel, and he said this to him, that the Bible says that the blood of such will be upon their hands. You see that in Ezekiel chapter 3, verse 18 and 19. If you move over to chapter 33, verse 8, that's 8 years later. He said the same thing again. Now, you say, but that's Old Testament. But ladies and gentlemen, if you go to the book of Acts, chapter 18, you'll find that the Apostle Paul did this. Chapter 18 in the book of Acts, Paul, in verse 8, said, and when Silas and Timotheus would come into Macedonia, Paul was pressed in the spirit and testified of the Jews that Jesus was Christ. His heart, because he was a Jew, was first to the Jews. That was the gospel, first to the Jew and then to the Gentile. And he is pressed hard that his home people get saved. Understand that the Old Testament system is out. There's a new one coming in, and Jesus Christ is the author of it. Verse 6 said, and when they composed themselves and blasphemed, he shook raiment and said unto them, watch. He's doing the very same thing. This is 650 years after Ezekiel said what he said. And now the Apostle Paul is using this same accusation and indictment he said there to Israel. He said, your blood be upon your own heads. I am clean, Paul says. From henceforth, from this time forward, I will go unto the Gentiles. Now, I'm glad he came to us. I'm glad he came to us. And I'm glad when God came to us, he didn't leave the Jews out individually. He just set the nation aside. Now he's dealing individual to life. The invitation is to come. It didn't cost a thing except to believe. To receive, to as many receive him, to them gave he power to become sons of God. And ladies and gentlemen, I say to you, as we look at this today, the Holy Spirit is striving with the souls of men for 2,000 years. Doing the same thing he's doing through us today. And I want to tell you, there's something going on. I have a chance at college and other things we have, and the radio, and a pastor to meet across the country. And I was thinking about this week when we had our college board. The pastor's there. I asked a question. I said, you know, I don't understand. It just seems like we're doing a lot of things, but there's no respond like there was at one time. Go to the foreign field and thousands get saved. You go here and knock on door, everybody else is saved. Nobody goes to church much, but everybody's saved. I believe if you're saved, you go to church. I just have to believe that. I don't know. Maybe it's because I'm a Johnson County boy, but I just believe that. Because I believe it's Bible. But on the other hand, I can understand. I said, we was talking about what's going on. I said, you know, our people, a lot of our folks work, contact, we're passing out tracts, we went through the phone, all the things we've done, and very few are saved compared to what we could do years ago. And you know what they said? You know, everybody we go across this country who are really preaching this Bible is saying the same thing. Something has happened to deceive people. They'd rather have the feeling than the faith. They'd rather have the feeling than the Lord. And you know, Satan's a mastermind of feelings. In fact, I remember a time he said, hey, he could transform himself as an angel of light, Paul said. And by the way, if he can do himself that way, think what he can do with his ministry. He can transform them as angels of light. Folks, we're in the last days. We're going to have to understand what God has to say, not what man has to say. And the Holy Spirit has you, lives in you, will bring you exactly to your heart what is said here in this book. If this doesn't get to you, if this doesn't humble you, if this doesn't bring tears to your eyes, doesn't give you a burden, doesn't convict your heart, nothing else will. I'm glad to report to you today that it is not too late to change courtrooms. Did you hear what I said? Someone listen to my radio and you stream, or here in this building or the other churches on this premise said, it's not too late to change courtrooms. Because Jesus Christ is the door that you leave one to the other. Leave that which has the hell and the lake of fire. Some people say now, well, you talk about hell, this is a place you don't understand it. We are better off today. There ain't no such thing as a lake of fire. God's too good to send somebody to hell. Are they going to be surprised when they stand at this judgment? Ladies and gentlemen, why would God even give us Revelation chapter 20, verse 15 through few verses, if there was not such a truth as that? Why would he waste the time to put it in the book and preach it for 2,000 years if it's not so? We know that it is so, but you don't hear much of this today. I'm glad to report to you that it is not too late to change courtrooms. If he's calling you to be saved, please come to him now. Acts 16:31, Paul said to Philip and jailer, bring the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Paul to the church of Corinth said, now is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. Romans chapter 10, verse 9 and 10 said, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth, give us the former. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in thy heart that God has raised from the dead, thou shalt be saved. With thy mouth confession made unto salvation, heart believe in the righteousness. Verse 13, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Verse 17, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. God has gave it all to us, ladies and gentlemen, so we can know. And I'm glad to report today that you can come. If you are saved, serve him now. In God's created good works that's found in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. What are these? He'll show you. Christian, listen to what Paul is saying to you and I as I finish the message today. Look with me in chapter 13 of the book of Romans. I want to turn to chapter 13. Here's what Paul said, verse 11, down a few verses. Look at this. And that knowing the time, Paul said, that is nigh, it's high time to wake out of sleep. Boy, if it was here back in 60 A.D., think what it would be 2,000 years later. We're closer to coming to the Lord now than ever. He said, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believe. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. Now, God, the Holy Spirit will show us how to do that. We can't do it ourselves, but he gives us the power to do that. Let us walk honest in the day and not in the rightness and drunkenness, not in chamber, that's the closed up stuff to evil, not in wantonness, that's in more acts, not in strife or envy. But put ye on, this is the only answer, put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ. You can't put him on unless you have him as your Savior. And make not provisions for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. How do you do that? Romans chapter 12, verse 1. I beseech you by the mercy of God that you present your body a living sacrifice, which is your reasonable service. Be not conformed to this world, fashioned to this world, as Satan tried, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Why? That you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And I'll tell you, that will move you in a direction to say, Lord, I'm not going to just laugh and pat us off and say, that's just something a preacher has to preach. God himself has said, there is a judgment seat of Christ. He tells us it's called Bema seat in the Greek, and that's where the Christians will be judged. 1 Corinthians 3 tells the format of that. Then he tells us that after that's done, when we're in heaven, rewards will be passed out. We'll come back in Revelation 19, the rule and reign with Christ. You remember that? And then after the tribulation period, we'll come back to rule and reign for 1,000 years with him. And then at that time, everything will be come to an end. The second death will have taken place. Those who died that first down, that died the second death and eternal death. And then where we are at in status that we gain while we're here in time, now in the spiritual world of glory, will be there forever. And ever. And ever. And ever. And ever. And ever. And ever. How long is forever? You could sit for 1,000,000,000 years and never run out. Stand to your feet, please. Father in heaven, Lord, I thank you to see something that we deal with every day. This is not Judge Judy on the television, Lord. This is not these people who make big money by having these TV programs. This is not the judges down at each courthouse. Lord, I thank that we have these things that sometimes they're rotten, but sometimes they do us good. But I'm so glad to know there's coming a day that every human being, Lord, come right now, for 6,000 years, every human being that's ever lived will stand at one or the other of these judgments. Either the judgment of Jesus Christ or the great white throne judgment. Lord, I can't decide that for each one. You have already decided that. In Christ Jesus, there is life. In Christ Jesus, there is forgiveness. In Christ Jesus, our sins can be washed completely away. And we can stand in the presence of God, even at this judgment, not afraid of the hell fires and brimstone that comes because of sin, because our sins have been paid for. The only thing that God has shown us that He gave us, not only that we're saved, a period of time to live here, to serve the living God. And God said, I'll tell you what I do. I not only birthed you into my family, brought you in by adoption to give you full of everything, but I'm going to reward you. For what, Lord? For being your children? No. For obeying me. And they'll be tried by fire. Two children of mine that stand in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ will not be at a point of finger, because their works are likely to be tried by fire. I've already warned them how it would be. Nothing's going to change. If the work is done by obedience to God and comes out gold, silver, precious stone, then there will be a reward. There'll be crowns. There'll be a lightness. I don't understand all about that, but I know there's a brightness that God talks about for those who win souls. But that child who didn't see the need, they probably got saved and lived more straddle the fence in the world. They had things, a gender in life here to gain prestige and stuff, and in turn left what God said to do. And they think that their works, they may have gave a lot of money to a lot of religious organizations. They may be up building somewhere or another. Names been put on them. But their works are going through the fire. They don't come out. They're consumed like wood, hay, and stubble. And Father, when that day comes, they'll suffer loss as far as reward is concerned. We're not talking about inheritance here. Inheritance comes by birth. All inheritance will be the same. We're talking about reward. That where God our Father rewards those who serve Him. Dear Father, if you're real to our heart, what you say must be real. Honor yourself today through this message, Lord. Oh my God, only you see what I'm saying is true or not. Others may believe it or not believe it. But if this book, and I believe you wrote it, has it in it, and the Holy Spirit will help us put it together so we can see the overall picture, understand what applies to us and don't apply to us, be able to reconcile between the Old and New Testament, understand why Israel went through what she went through, and understand in the age of grace why Jew and Gentile brought together. Lord, to us who are saved, it's so simple. And yet to many who are religious and otherwise, it seems so complicated that it can't be real. Holy Spirit, I have no power to make anyone hear, or radio, or by you stream to understand what's been taught today. But you can. I believe with all my heart, when it's given, the Holy Spirit works. I believe for the child of God who wants Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit will draw them. And I believe if they trust Christ as Savior, the Holy Spirit will teach them, because He is the one who wrote this book, and His teaching will not be anything other than what's in this book. And we thank You for that. Have Your way on these premises today as we give this service to You. In Jesus' wonderful name we pray. Amen.